Yesterday, elected officials, families, and friends, they gathered at Sherwood Island State Park in masks to pay their respects to those who died on September 11th of 2001. The ceremony noticeably marked another tragedy the nation is going through as it grapples with the coronavirus pandemic. Governor Ned Lamont said before the gathered audience, quote, "This is a year we're never going to forget. And 9/11 is a day we'll never forget and should never forget." End quote. Lamont said one of his memories from the day was the extraordinary heroism he saw by first responders in rescuing and assisting many in the aftermath of the towers being struck, saying, quote, "We had a different type of first responder during COVID, and it involved essential workers, but they were heroes just the same," end quote. I guess he was highlighting doctors, food service providers, and others who has been assisting throughout this pandemic. After the tragedy, the nation, as you recall, was united in a way it had not been in several years. And a similar sense of unity, I suppose, can be a sprout from the pandemic, according to Ned Lamont. The impact of the day is emotional from those directly and indirectly impacted by the tragedy. On that note, we're going to bring in our next guest, who we haven't heard from in a few weeks, but apparently he was partaking in yesterday's memorial, 9/11 memorial, I should say. Well, welcome back to the show, State Senator Tony Wong. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay. You know, it's like I was telling you. I mean, we're trying to look at good things. It's Friday. It's a good thing. It's weather's going to be nice. And on the other side, it's like it's somber. I don't think we think of September 11, 2001 often enough. And even when the actual day comes, the anniversary day comes around, we just don't seem to have the patriotism that we had in the aftermath of September 11, 2001. I don't know if you're like me, but I remember the ribbons around the trees. I remember that everybody went out and bought a flag, so much so you couldn't even buy a flag at the store. They were on back order. Everybody loved being an American. The songs were patriotic, and people just seemed a little more friendly to work.
Well, it really was a unique time in our history where this country came together as Americans, whether you were Democrat, Republican.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, red, white, blue was everywhere. And the bottom line was we were together as Americans.
Yeah, we really
were.
There
wasn't that divisiveness. But I wanted to share with you, I participated in the event last night. And under stormy clouds, we gathered, wearing our masks, socially distancing. And it was a beautiful ceremony to honor those that were lost. Over 160-plus Connecticut residents perished that day. And the impact that was felt through the country, you and I felt it.
Mm.
But another part of that, Gary, really was to honor not only those who died and cherish and memorialize their memory, but it was also a moment, Gary, in which we honor and pay our respects to those family members that continue to live with the sorrow and the loss of their loved ones. Every holiday, every birthday, they're going to see that they have a missing space at the table.
That's true.
And that's because of a terrorist act, a preventable tragedy caused by another evil doing of people, and that is really a big part of that memorial. I've been going to it for nearly 12 years. I have seen young children grow to be young adults missing their family members. I have seen people continue to live in that sorrow. So for us, 9/11 is our generation's Pearl Harbor. And if you've ever talked to anybody who's endured Pearl Harbor, it says it happened yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a very dear best friend who was in one of those towers
Oh.
and escaped. And to this day, Gary, he refuses to talk about it. He refuses to share what he saw, what he potentially saw, with the worst of humanity. And that's the impact it has on people whose lives been impacted. And you're right, Gary, and I appreciate you having me on to share this with people in this short memory society that we have, that ultimately there are people whose lives are irreparably changed because of that tragedy, and we need to honor and show support to those people that we will never, ever forget.
Yeah, I there's a few things I want to talk about. Let me just go here first. What is it about Sherwood Island State Park that makes them want to have something every year to commemorate the tragedy?
There is a good reason for that, Gary, and that's a very good question. It is a state park, but it was also a staging station for all of our incredible and courageous volunteers from our first responder forces throughout the entire state, and if not the Northeast, because it was a big open space. It was the staging area for all the first responders that wanted to go down to Manhattan to help. And from that coastline, it was told to me that you could have seen the Twin Towers. And unfortunately, post 9/11, you could also sadly see the simmering of smoke rising through the horizon. So Sherwood Island served as a critical collection point where our brave first responders gathered from all over this Northeast to go down and help their fellow Americans. So that was one of the reasons why it was held there, and it is a beautiful setting. And for those that are throughout the state, it's a tranquil and respectful environment that we can go in our quiet reflection and look at the names that are lost. But yesterday, we also got to see the faces of the families that struggle with their loss every day as well.
Yeah.
It really is a ceremony that is very touching. And I thought Governor Lamont and Lieutenant Governor Bicewich did a very fine job paying our respects. But the special moment was reserved for loved ones reading the names of those lost and talking about how they live with that sorrow and tragedy every day.
Yeah, and by the way, folks, we're speaking with State Senator Tony Wong. Since you bring that up, it sounds like it was very moving. Was there any particular story that touched you the most?
Well, ultimately, the story is one that I know of personally. Eunice Hansen, who was a long staple along with her husband in the town of Easton that I represent, she and her husband lost three members in that tragedy.
Oh, good God.
They lost their son, their daughter-in-law, and their two-year-old granddaughter. And they were on the plane from Boston going to L.A., and that was one that crashed. And Eunice is in her late 80s. And I took a special moment to introduce her to the governor and share with him a direct connection to that tragedy. And she shared a story that gave chills to me, Gary. She shared that her son was literally on the phone with her husband when the attack occurred, and was on the phone to the virtual last second. And I had not heard that before, and it gave me chills, and it brought it real, real back to me. But nevertheless, they have continued to move forward. And that's the theme, I think, you share, is that as Americans, we can be united and move forward and to do better. And she has done that. She has been a rock in our community, being involved, naming a memorial at a zoo to continue to teach young people the lessons of 9/11. It really is the courage and the resolve of so many of these family members to move forward, but to always remind us to never, ever forget. So that was an example where you know, it wasn't a public story, but it was one that, you know, she was there in her frail advanced age. She was there to pay respects to those that are lost and to honor her family.
You know, the closest I've ever come to hearing a story like that is when, and I think I saw some CNN documentary that was very well produced and put together. This is several years ago. I think they re-air it every September 11th, so I wouldn't be surprised if they aired it tonight. But there were some stories where you hear family members where, you know, they heard from a loved one that they were calling on their cell phone from, you know, in flight, you know, and saying, I don't think I'm going to make it, blah, blah, blah. I want you to know I love you, and so on and so forth. But your story that you're relaying takes it one step further, where they were actually talking during the actual strike of the plane into the building. That you're right. It does send a chill up your spine. It's wow. That's an incredible, incredible story to relay. Do you think... I'm not asking if we can be. I'm asking you if we are presently as patriotic and as united as a nation to be Americans as we are today, as we were in the aftermath of September 11th of 2001.
No, we're a divided country right now, Gary, and the divisiveness is so pronounced, and the anger is so pronounced that people have refused to see that we are all as one. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. This is an imperfect country, but it continues to be the greatest country in the world, a country built by immigrants and diversity, but also a country with tremendous opportunity for those that strive to achieve it. And I think even during this COVID, for us to make the commitment to have that ceremony, is a powerful testament of our resolve to move forward. But no, we are far from that unification, because we're so divided, whether by politics, rather by socioeconomics, rather by race relations. We need to understand that by all backgrounds, by all the divisions that we may have, the rest of the world sees us as Americans. We need to start seeing ourselves as Americans with different backgrounds, different culture, different religion. But we're Americans, and we need to be united as such.
Well, then let me ask you a follow-up to that, then. How do we get back on track? How do we unite? How do we reinstate our national patriotism?
Well, I will offer to you the way we could start, Gary, is by rebuilding our local neighbors and community relationships. We have allowed the national politics to divide us as neighbors, as friends, as a sense of a community. You know, I think when you and I served together, our focus was always on representing the best interest of our community.
It's true.
I think one of the ways that we can go back to it is to not let a divisive national debate and allow these actors who have no contact to what you and I do every day in connection with our neighbors, helping the elderly, helping our nonprofits, supporting our children in education. They have nothing to do with what you and I did as their representative and as their neighbor. Why are we fighting with each other? And
point.
I think that's the most valuable lesson we can offer in moving forward is, at that moment last night, we were all united as Americans, as individuals that were touched and wanted to memorialize those lost. There wasn't any degree of bickering. There was a unification and a feeling. It was just talk, Gary. It was a sense of unity that we were there for a common purpose and no other. So to answer your question, I think one way we can move forward is let's take a step back and, you know, think globally and act locally. Be a part of your community again. Talk to those neighbors that you have said, I disagree vehemently because of party or politics.
But why can't people just put that aside? You know, there used to be a time where, you know, you went to a social gathering or a party or get together and it was like, we don't talk about religion and politics. And now it seems to be what people go to most. I'm going to have you weigh in on this. What do you think of the advent of social media and 24-hour cable news channels? And I shouldn't even just say cable news channels, because they've been around for a while, but even your local news politicizing reporting, or purposely not reporting, or slanting a newscast that should be completely unbiased and unslanted, and therefore helping, aiding and abetting the divisiveness that we already have.
Well, social media has been a creation that has manifested itself into our lives far, far reaching than anybody could have ever imagined. That being said, it has some tremendously positive values, but it has also created opportunities for the dispersion of ill-intented news and really to attack people, you know, and say and do things to people that you would never do to their face. And that kind of anonymity, that kind of animus through that anonymity is really what's created the toxic environment. And so I agree with you, Gary, that we need to now understand and talk to people directly, and to re-engage in that human connection, because you would never say an attack and conduct yourself in that way to someone's face.
Yeah, you're right.
You do it under the protection of the internet.
But sadly, Senator, you know, social media and news and biased news, it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. As we advance in time. Tony, thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for sharing your experience yesterday's 9/11 memorial. That was a very, very moving story. And try to enjoy your weekend, and we look forward to talking to you.
Well, Gary, thank you so much for having me on. It's always great to talk to you. And thank you for this opportunity to share with people and to remind them that we must never, ever forget.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us.